We're at the woman at the well. For those of you that weren't here last week, if it's your first time today, welcome. We've been going through the Gospel of John, learning about the deity of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ being the living God, the sovereign creator, how he came as a man. We learned in John chapter 1 that he was in the beginning, and that he came as a man to this world, became human flesh to do a purpose, to go to the cross for me and you. That he was here in his creation to save his creation, that he created himself. He's the living God of heaven and of earth. He created all things, verse 2 in John chapter 1 says, and through him all things were created. It says he is containing everything and holding everything together in Colossians. And Friday night, they're going through Colossians at Jimmy's Bible study, and the Lord is really moving there, and I encourage you guys to go out because it goes right along with John. And Easy on Wednesday nights is going through Genesis, which is going along with redemption of man, which is just so beautiful if you're in all three of these studies, if the Lord would perhaps let you do that. Or get the tapes afterward. Remember, we have tapes available for free for those of you that can't afford it. There's an offering box there that if you can give, go ahead. If you can't, no big deal at all. Tapes are about 35 cents a piece probably. And they're just, we just give them to you free. And to get it and to study the Word and let us be people that know the living God personally, that know Him doctrinally, that know Him experientially, that know him so intimately. You guys, the woman at the well just met Jesus. We saw it last week. She came to the well there in John chapter 4. Just another day, an adulterous woman, a woman that had five husbands. And she was living with a man now. She had no husband. She was immoral. She was an outcast. She was a Samaritan woman, as we talked about last week, what rabbis thought of women. In fact, a rabbi was, if he was walking down the street and he saw his wife pass him by on the street, could not even acknowledge that she was living. That was the religious thing that they did in those days. And Jesus, being a rabbi, first of all, goes to Samaria, which was an outcast of the Jews. They were half-breeds. The Jewish race hated them. The Samaritans, we learned, changed the five books of Moses, and they said the Garden of Eden happened to be on Mount Gerizim instead of Jerusalem. They changed every part in Jerusalem that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Gerizim. They changed the Word of God. That was the mount that she said, well, we worship on this mount, and you Jews worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus just comes in and says, man, you need to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's not where you worship. It's who you worship. And Jesus Christ is bringing to her life. You see, his disciples are marveling at this. They can't believe he even talked to a woman. But Jesus came to the lowly of lowlies, an outcast of society from a society that was outcast, and she was a woman of immorality. And Jesus Christ came to her in the midday, there by the well, and says, woman, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. For the water that I shall give to you will be in you fountains of living water springing up in your heart. And we're going to see tonight how this became so true in this lady's heart. Fountains of living water were pouring out of her as she came and spoke to the city of Samaria, a woman that was so depressed that as she came to the well, she came in the midday when nobody would go. The heat of the day, people would go to the well in the early morning and in the late evening. She came so she hadn't speak to nobody, but Jesus Christ confronted her, and she met Jesus face to face. It's a blessed story. Let's jump right in it. Why don't you start at verse 25? We left off at verse 26 last week, but the verse 25, Jesus just says, you must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Notice the word is in italics. The word he is in italics means it's not in the original language. Jesus pretty much says to her, she says, well, we know, because they did know that the Messiah was coming. They were looking for a Messiah. They were kind of religious. They had a sense of the scriptures. We know the Messiah is coming, and Jesus says, I am. I am the great I am, as God said there to Moses back in Exodus, I believe chapter 3, verse 14. I am, when he was in the burning bush. I am has sent you. And Jesus, the very I am, the very God Almighty, is speaking now to this lady face to face. Verse 27, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? You see, his disciples came at this point. There, chapter 4, verse 8, his disciples left into the city to get some food. And now they return at this point. This point in time after Jesus has talked to this lady and shared with this lady about eternal life and water that could gush out of you and worshiping in the Spirit and in the truth. Not worshiping in religion and regulations, not drinking of water that will not satisfy no more of religion, but living in the very presence of the living God. Having the very living God living in you and gushing out of you fountains. And it says at this point, his disciples, they marvel. What are you doing talking to a woman? But they didn't ask. They didn't say nothing. They said, okay, well. And Jesus can read their minds as he does all through the Gospels. Jesus Christ is reading their minds. Usually he answers questions that they never asked. They're asking in their minds, or they're discussing privately to one another. And so we see here that they didn't ask. They're just going to wait and to see what the Lord does. But notice they marveled. He was talking to a woman. Then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So this lady, the disciples are coming back. Jesus is done sharing with her about eternal life and about her sins being forgiven and about worshiping the living God in the Spirit. And it says that the woman left her water pot. Now that's the reason the woman came to the well. She came to the well to draw water that she did daily. It was her job. And she left her water pot, and it says she went into the city and she told the men. Look at that. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men. Notice she said to the men. You notice this woman had a lot of men that were friends. And these guys knew her life. They knew who this woman was. The men of this city knew this lady. She was an adulteress. She slept around. Men knew her. And she came and she was transformed. She came and she was radically changed, and they knew it. She left her water pot. She had no time to carry a water pot back into the city. She just met the living God. Her life was changed. She left behind. As Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. They left their fishing boats. They left their nets. They left their father in the boat. And immediately it says they followed him. In one part of Luke, it says they left and forsook all to follow Jesus. They left their life behind and they followed after his life. And that's exactly what this woman does. She leaves and she comes into the city and says to the man, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She's saying, could it be the Christ? Her life was radically transformed. She shares her testimony with these people, with these men. And look what it says there in verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, now they went out, the men, now at this time, they go out of the city. Man, she has seen something so radical that these guys got to see it. She says, could it be the Christ? I met a man. And it wasn't just her words she was speaking. It was her testimony of life, as our testimonies will bring people to Christ. And notice what she says. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. What did Philip say there in John chapter 1, verse 42? As Jesus says, he wanted to go to Galilee, but first he found Philip. And Philip said there to Nathanael, Nathanael said, could anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. Bringing people to Jesus. Notice Jesus went out of his way. We talked about it last week, to go to Philip before he did and go on his journey. And we noticed last week in verse 4 of John chapter 4 that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Jesus must go. It wasn't because that was the way he would regularly go. No, it was not. They would go through the Jordan Valley, all the Jews. They would never go through Samaria. Never. But Jesus needed or must, as we talked about last week, go for a purpose. You see, God knows all. He had this appointment laid down before the foundations of the world. And Jesus went in, and this lady, as when he did to Philip, says, come and see. Witness is already happening in this lady's life as she's been touched by the living Lord. And it says, in the meantime, verse 31, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Remember, they went to get some food, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So now we find the disciples are coming back out of the city. The woman sees them. The woman leaves her water pot and just rushes into the city and starts telling all the men that she has found the Messiah. Could this be the Messiah? Come and see, she says to them. And then his disciples return with food and say, Rabbi, eat. There's a time here. You can eat. You've been ministering. We find that he was weary. He was weary from his journey. He was tired. That's why he stopped at the well. That's why he did not go into the city to get something to eat, because he was so weary. And now he looks at them and says, I have food of which you do not know. And they says, has anybody come out here? Has anybody given him some food? You see, he's speaking spiritually again. And we're always on that carnal mind. I ask myself, as a disciple of the Lord, am I hearing him clearly? When he speaks to me, is my mind so spiritual, not weird, but just in tune with him, in tune with his will and not mine, in tune with the loving, sovereign will of God? What could the Lord have for me in this trial, in this circumstance that I'm going through? What could the Lord have for me? And my mind so many times is set on earthly things and not on heavenly. Because we're storing up so much treasures on this earth and not treasures in heaven, where because it says where your heart is, where your treasures are, there your heart is also. As my treasure is in heaven, as my mind is set on the Lord, I'm thinking eternal things. People are going to hell. This is reality. People are hurting in this world. Babies are being aborted day in and day out. People are being killed. Girls are being raped. Things are happening, and I'm just sitting and loving the Lord Jesus and keeping them all to myself. People are walking by me, and they're all going to hell. And where is the spiritual mind laying up for myself treasures in heaven? You see, as my heart is in heaven, that's where my treasures are. As I find my heart burning for the things of the Lord, I find my heart in the eternal realm. As my heart is in the Word of God, and as in my heart, my desires, my time, my energy in life, where is it? Where is it being put into? Where is my heart? Is it in the things of God? His disciples, they're ministering with Jesus himself. They're seeing signs and wonders have been done. In Canaan of Galilee, they saw water turned into wine. They saw Jesus' authority coming through the temple and clearing it out. They saw miracles happening. They saw all the people coming to him in chapter 3 when John the Baptist, they were all leaving John and coming to Jesus to be baptized. And it says they were baptizing him. And they are baptizing people, seeing people repent of their sins, seeing revival happening. And where is their mind? I ask myself, where is my mind in the midst of these things? So easily we can get caught up and get earthly in our minds. We need to live every day like it's our last. Every day. Every day like it's our last day. You've got 7 hours and Jesus is coming. What are you going to do with your last 7 hours? I ask myself the question. Will my heart be like the Lord's and says, my food, that which keeps me going, that which makes me live, that which continues me in this life and gives me energy and gives me zeal and fire. That food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Is that my heart? You guys, that was the Lord's heart, and He was rebuking His disciples, saying, you guys, listen, my food is to do the what will of Him who sent me. Jesus says, as my Father has sent me, so now I send you. He said it after He raised from the dead, John chapter 20, verse 21. And then He breathed His Holy Spirit on His disciples. We find there in the end of Matthew, He says, go therefore into all the nations, preach the gospel, and baptize and teaching people. He says there in Mark chapter 16, in the last part, He says, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Every creature on the face of the earth. To do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you know the Lord has a work for each one of us? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. That's it. My job is to walk with the Lord, to obey Him, to be spiritually minded, to hear from Him. He's prepared it. Before the foundations of the world, it was prepared. The woman at Samaria, she was going to get born again. It was prepared. The Lord had it set. When He became flesh and dwelt among us, He knew what He was going to do that day there in Samaria. On that afternoon, He was going to be weary and tired. He knew what His disciples were going to say. He had the work prepared beforehand. My job is to walk in it. Walk by the Spirit, and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. My job is to walk. I'm His workmanship. I am no longer me. I do no longer live. It's not my will, but Thy will be done. It's giving up all that I have and all that I am and making Him all that I want and letting Him live in me, like it says, Christ, my hope of glory. He's my hope in me, and He's the glory that's pouring out of me. As you drink from the fountains of salvation, it says as you draw from the wells of salvation, that these fountains of living water, which we found in Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe verse 13, said that that was God Himself. As God is pouring forth from within me, as I've drawn from the wells of salvation, have I left my water pot there at the well of salvation and immediately just left to share, to tell of the goodness that I've tasted? Indeed, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, as this woman did, man, will you leave your water pot at the well of salvation? Will you leave it there and move forward for the kingdom? You let it go and say, my food now no longer is my flesh and what I want, what I desire. As Ephesians chapter 2 says, that before I was saved, I was driven and I went by my lust of passions of desire. But when God saved me by His grace and made me His workmanship and created me in Christ Jesus, as Christ died at Calvary and I was created in Him, that I was born again. And now I do His work that He prepared beforehand, and I just walk with Him. I just walk with the living, loving Lord who died for me and cared for me so much. And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Okay, good. My food is to do His will. How do I know His will? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, walk carefully or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the times for the days are evil. Not being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do I understand what God's will is for my life? I walk carefully, clearly, soberly. I redeem my times because the days are evil around me. I seek the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. I fill myself with the water. I'm drawing from the wells of salvation and I'm drinking in of the Lord Jesus continually through His Word, pouring out my heart like water before the face of the Lord in prayer. And I'm just redeeming the times, making careful, wise use of every time that I have. I'm not wasting it with sin and vanity, chasing after wind, as Ecclesiastes would tell us, but chasing after the living, loving Lord who's leading me and guiding me as I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm trusting in Him with all of my heart. And in all my ways, I'm acknowledging You're the King, You're my Lord. Lord, You are the King of my life. I surrender my will to You. You lead me. What You says goes, no matter if I like it or not. Here I am, Lord Jesus, and take me as I'm redeeming the times because the days are evil and the Lord is soon returning. And as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord isn't slack concerning His promises, as some would count slackness, but is long-suffering to those who will believe on Him. Long-suffering, He's waiting. The wrath of God is just waiting right now. He's crying and weeping as we saw Jesus over the city of Jerusalem as He came over the mount, weeping that they would turn and repent. And the Lord is wants to weep through you, as we find there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the latter part of the verse, it says that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God was in us pleading to the world, be reconciled to God. God is in you, wanting to pour out of you. And it's Jesus who's in you, weeping, saying, world, come to Me. I am long-suffering. That's why the Lord hasn't come back yet. People say, well, He's slack. He's slacking off. The Lord, He's not coming back. Oh, no. He isn't slack concerning His promises, but He's long-suffering. He's just waiting that those would be saved, that people would come unto His Son, Jesus. And as we as believers lift up Jesus, He says, I'll draw people to Myself. Will you lift the Lord up in your heart and in your life by example number one and by word number two? Using your testimony, but if I don't have a real testimony. I'm not saying you used to have to be a radical druggie and you had to be really wicked. Oh no, a great testimony is somebody that has been a lover of the Lord their whole life. Or a church person that's been born again, that's met the living God face to face, that saw religion and tasted of it, and now has moved from it into a loving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus says, my food is to do His will and to finish His work. So as I do His will by just walking with Him, therefore I'm going to know that work that He set before me, for He's going to lead me and guide me in all that I do. And as I do His will, just worshiping and praising His holy name, loving Him, and when I sin, I coming back to Him, entering in boldly. And then I find out what His will is, and as I start to do this work which God prepared beforehand, and I just continue to walk in it, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble its own. He'll go, okay, what do I got to do? What am I called? The Lord doesn't lay out your future like this for you. He says, walk step by step, day by day with Me. Walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to walk with Me and trust Me. You see, the Lord Jesus, He's got my whole life laid out, and I don't know what it is. And there's things in front of me that are scary. And He just says, one more step, Trent, let's go. Another step, come on. Walk by faith, here's My hand, take My hand, let's go. Just stepping out practically into darkness sometimes, not seeing even the floor underneath me. And I'm just stepping. And I know the Lord Jesus, He's there and He's taking me. He's taking care of me. He's moving me. Jimmy's scared I'm going to fall off the stage. And I'm walking by faith and not by sight. You guys, it's an experience that no money could buy, that reading your Bible all day can't do, but I'm talking about being a doer of the Word. Has He laid something on your heart today? Do it! Just do it. Just do it. If it's in His Word and He's shown you, you're scared to death. Paul says, I don't come with persuasive speech, with human wisdom, but I come to you in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. I come to you in weakness, fear, and trembling. He's like this. Now, I don't see Paul the Apostle like that. I see him in my mind, a bold disciple just taking things down. Getting stoned, getting back up, going back into the city. They stone him for preaching in the prison, preaching where he goes, making an opportunity of his time, redeeming the times for the days are evil. But he said he's weak and fearful and trembling, scared. but he's walking in faith. And Jesus says, don't be worrying about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seeking the Lord day by day. And that's the will of God for you today. And tomorrow. And the next day. And just let the Lord Jesus lead you and guide you. And then, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. For you see, we must finish the work. For I've run the race, I have fought the fight, I finished the course that was set before me. Paul the Apostle there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 would say at the very end of his life, I finished. Jesus, we're going to see, says, I finished the work, Father. Jesus' work was to go to Calvary. Number one, to be an example to us that we may know the nature of the living God. For if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Number two, to redeem us from our sins. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19, verse 10, that's the will of God. That's what Jesus came for. And now you're his ambassador. You're representing the Lord. And he's come and he's filled you. Why am I still here if I don't have a purpose? If he doesn't have a plan or a future and a hope for me here on this earth, why? Why do I have to go through all these struggles just because God's mad at me and he wants me to just go through struggles? No, Paul says, apart from sufferings, you'll never know him. For I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the what? Fellowship of his sufferings, that I may be conformed into his death, that by any means I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. You cannot raise from the dead and obtain the resurrection, the power of the raising power of the resurrection of the dead until you go through sufferings. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe verse 8, talks about Paul says, in his sufferings, the power of God is manifested in the sufferings of Paul. You guys, your trials, James tells us, is for our growth and edification. Just trust the Lord. Just trust him. He hasn't let you down before and he never will. Trust him. He died for you. What will he not do? It's a done deal. He's prepared a plan for you. He's got a work prepared beforehand. All you got to do is walk in it. You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, just acknowledge Jesus, your Lord, and I'm the servant. Here I am, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Jesus Christ was the same way. It says he became like his brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. He became like his brethren that he may be an example to us. He was just like me and you. We talked about it last week, how he was weary, tired, he cried, he had emotions just like me and you. He can sympathize. Jesus Christ, though, says this is what the will of God is, to serve him with all of your heart and to let it all go. And now look what he says to his disciples in verse 35. He says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now remember at this point, the woman at the well, she is gone and the men are on their way coming. And it's known in the Samaritan villages that they had white cloaks on. They had white robes, like that's what they wore for clothing, unlike the Jewish people. And Jesus says, man, you guys want me to eat? You think we've got time to do this? I tell you, the food is to do the will of God and to finish the work I came for. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as he looked up, he said, lift up your eyes. And probably the multitudes were coming from the city, the men. The people were coming out. Jesus says, man, look, don't say we got 4 months until harvest. Don't say we got 4 months because in between planting and harvest, there was about 4 months. Don't say we've got 4 months until harvest. Man, the field, lift up your eyes, look. What he's saying here, don't say tomorrow we'll deal with it. Tomorrow I'll share with that person. Tomorrow I'll take care of this. Man, you guys that are in school, lift up your eyes and look at the harvest. Look at it. Jesus says the laborers are few, or the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up workers. The harvest is plentiful. Look at it. The sea of the humanity. You guys pray to God that he'd raise up workers in the harvest. You want to see a revival? We need workers. We need those that will say, I'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing my labor is not in vain. I will stand up and move forward in the midst of trials, in the midst of hard times. I will keep going. I will press on for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Forgetting those things behind, I'm moving out. I'm going forward. I'm looking to Him because my citizenship is not in earth, but is in heaven. And that's where I am. And Peter says, I beg you as pilgrims and strangers and foreigners, do not let the lust of your flesh, which war against you, take you down. Don't let this war beat you. How can I be a warrior if I don't know my leader? How can I be a disciple if I don't know my Lord? And Jesus is telling His disciples, you guys, wake up and run the race to win. He says, look, don't say tomorrow. Don't say in 4 months we'll deal with this. Lift up your eyes. We got work to do. Let's go. And this is going to satisfy you much more than earthly food. This is your food. Verse 36, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps will rejoice together. He says, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. You guys reaping? You guys out there reaping and sowing? You guys out there laying out the seed? Because some of us will sow, some of us will reap, but we'll all rejoice together. Maybe you'll witness to a guy forever and you'll bring him to Bible study and I'll lead him to the Lord. Doesn't mean you didn't lead him to the Lord. Hey, we rejoice together. Praise the Lord. We're a body of Christ, and the problem with the body of Christ today is it's missing a bunch of parts and it's retarded. You got a body that's got a head. We've got a body of Christ and we want revival. And it's not going to happen until we all stand up and seek the Lord and do what He puts on our heart. Just stepping out in faith, you're going to see a radical body of Christ. And it says, what gathering, what fruit for eternal life? It's not going to fade away, you guys. Whatever you invest in the kingdom of God is for eternity. You will have rewards for eternity. They will last forever and ever and ever. Just rejoice. Man, why am I going to drink of that well that I'll thirst again of when I could drink of the fountain of living water? Something that is just going to fade away. First Peter tells me in chapter 1, in about verse 5 or 6, First Peter tells me that it will not fade away. It's not fading away, this eternal thing. This eternal ramifications of what I do today is never going to fade away. You guys, we must live eternal minded. Today, let me affect eternity. Just loving the Lord, it's a blessing. Yeah, there's warfare. Let me tell you, today I sat at my desk to study and all I could do was cry. I could not study. I was under such spiritual attack. And all I could do say is, Lord, You're faithful and I'm not. And God, I know You're going to take me through and I trust You. And I will be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing my labor is not done in vain. It's not empty, but it's real. Lord, I know when I get up tonight, You're going to speak. All I can do is pray, so here I am. And pouring out my heart and letting the Lord work on me, though I feel like God is nowhere to be found. Don't give up. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Oh, don't grow weary. In due season you shall reap. You guys that are witnessing to people that you feel like it's over, don't grow weary, for in due season you shall reap. In due season, as you plant and plant and plant, you will reap. The Lord only knows. Just be faithful to your calling. Do what the Lord puts on your heart. Walk with Him. We'll all rejoice. The heavens will rejoice. Eternity will be affected. And you will be doing the work that was prepared beforehand that you would walk in it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, you see your calling, brother, not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame that which is wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to bring to nothing that which is strong. and the base things of this world to bring to nothing that which is mighty. God has chosen us, people that are despised, rejected, maybe people that don't have great talents. I am definitely not a great speaker, but I've got the living God who's living in me. I can barely speak English. I mean, I can't even read. I just stumble through. But the Lord has chosen that. Why? What's the purpose? It goes on to say that nobody should glory, but they would glory in the Lord. And the Lord has chosen you that people would see you and say, God is living. Because if that person does what they're doing, there's got to be a living God who's real. There's got to be something behind it because I know that person. Now, this woman at the well, she comes. People know who she is. Why would all flock out? Why would they all go out? It says in verse 38, I send you to reap of that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Jesus Christ is saying, man, seed was spread before the woman came around. The word of God was going out. People knew that the Lord was real. In fact, they made up all this stuff. They knew the Messiah was coming. Verse 25, they were looking for it. We know when the Messiah comes. Who is the Christ? He will tell us all things. Verse 25, they were looking and watching. You guys, as you're witnessing, sometimes we're going to go in and we're just going to reap of that which we did not labor. Now, this word labor here is the same word that's in verse 6 where Jesus said he was weary, where it said Jesus was weary. That weary and labor are the same thing. We must labor for the kingdom unto weariness. Not being weary with the work of the Lord, but getting weary in doing the work of the Lord. Not weary with the Lord, but getting tired because I've just sought the Lord. Because I'm just laying down my life. You think Jesus got weary on the way to the cross? Wow. Do you think he laid aside a lot of his physical parts, a lot of his physical fleshly wants? Absolutely laid down his life. Do you think he got weary? Yeah, but he didn't get weary with the Lord. He got weary in doing ministry for the Lord. And what's the Bible say? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. As we come and get refreshed with the Lord. That's why we need to be seekers of His will. Being refreshed. For as I repent, refreshment from the presence of the Lord shall come. And this woman now, we're going to see the benefits and the fruit of this. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all things that I ever did. What did she do? She testified. She simply shared her testimony. She wasn't grounded in the Word. She didn't have theological answers to all their questions. She shared the testimony of her heart. She shared what the Lord did, and it was real, and they saw it, and they said, we believe. We believe. You guys, all you need to do is spend time with the Lord and share your testimony. And as you grow in the Lord and get rooted and grounded in His Word, your testimony just gets greater and greater, stronger and stronger. But never forgetting to spend that time with Him, to being renewed, to being refreshed in His presence, letting the Lord Jesus touch our hearts so deeply. You guys, look what happened. People believed in a weary, adulterous, unmoral, outcast of society, those foolish, those things chosen, you see your calling. Man, she was despised, rejected. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came and saved her. And immediately she left her life, her water pot at the well. The wells of salvation, she left it right there. She went forward. She shared with the men of the city that knew her, and they saw something so radically transforming in her. Paul the Apostle, three times, Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 26, and Galatians chapter 1, shares his testimony. We will overcome the accuser by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. By Jesus and the word of our testimony, what He's done in our life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Lord Jesus is living and He's real. And as He touched your life, that you have a testimony to share with those. Look what it says. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed with them. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own words. Look at the Samaritans were so impressed and so blown away that what God, Jesus Christ did in this woman's life, that they urged Jesus to stay with them. And He stayed 2 days. They urged Him. They wanted the Lord. They weren't looking down upon the Lord. They weren't saying no to the Lord. They were saying, man, I see something in her that's real. It's not religion, not hypocrisy. There's reality. Wait, stay with us. Talk to us. Share with us what you shared with her. And as He did so, it says He stayed 2 days. And now many more believed because of His own words. What is going to bring belief in people's heart? Your testimony and the Word of God. The Word. That's why I must know the Word. The Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and intentions of man's heart. When I'm witnessing and just throwing out the Word, you notice when I teach, I throw out a lot of the Word. It's because it's just, I don't know what it's doing. I just know it's a sword and it's working. I don't know. I just know it's in the spiritual realm. The Bible says it's a sword of the Spirit. And it's out just nailing souls. God speaking things to you that I have no clue about. And it's between you and the Lord. And it's not because somebody came up here and told me before what was going on in your life. It's because the Lord Jesus' Word is hitting you right in your heart. It's the Word. As you witness, as you share, as you talk with people, share the Word. Share the words of the Lord. Not, thus saith the Lord, but just in reality, in relationship, in conversation, just share the Word. Just share. You know what? You know what Jesus says? And He says, if you're weary, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. You got a heavy yoke, bro? Let me tell you, a yoke, you got a heavy burden upon you? Jesus says, come to Me. The Bible says that to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to know what the law of Christ is? To love one another? That's what we're called to do. Do you want to know the Lord? All He wants to do is love you. That's the Word. And as I share it in different situations, I use the different Word. If I've got a prideful guy out on the street telling me to go to hell and all this stuff, I'm going to tell him, bro, give him the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to show him his judgment. If I got a broken person, I'm not going to say, hey, commit adultery, murder. You've committed adultery in your heart already. You're condemned of hellfire. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But as you're seeking the Lord and you're using His Word to edify people, to bring people, His Word will bring rebuke to people's hearts. His Word brings people to hate me. When I share His Word sometimes, people hear and they get mad. They just... I no longer see them anymore. They no longer call me as they used to. Now, I wasn't coming down on it. I was just sharing the Word. And we need to be disciples of the Lord, looking across, being spiritually minded. What is going to edify these people? What's going to bring clarity to their heart of who the living God is? That's the only purpose you're alive if you're a believer. The only purpose. You're not alive today for yourself. No. You're alive, or Jesus, you would have got born again, raptured. Forget it. Why are you wasting your time? The Lord loves you. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you in His presence. He doesn't hate you. You aren't an outcast to Him. Though you might be an outcast to everybody else, the Lord loves you. He wants to take you in. Why has He left you here? Where there's sin and trials, and there's burdens and weaknesses, and there's all kinds of hurt and pain. And if your heart tonight is just hurting, it's got pain in it, the Lord Jesus loves you. And He's left you here to be an example that you may now with that pain share with those others, as 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says. You may comfort those in the same comfort that you've been comforted by Him. That you may bring people to Christ. And that's the purpose. And that's exactly what this woman did. And many believed in Him because of His words. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because what you said to us, for we have heard for ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's who Jesus is. Jesus Christ has come to save the world of their sins. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, you guys. He's come to save you from this world, from sin, hell, and death. And Jesus Christ has come to set men free. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're apart from Christ today, you're lost in your sins. And you need to be saved. And that was His purpose. In chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For to this end we both labor and strive, suffering reproach, because we trust in the living God." If you trust in the living God today, if you're laboring and you're striving for the kingdom of God, not growing weary while doing good, but continually laboring and striving, if you suffer reproach from the world, it's because you trust in the living God. And look what he says. "We labor and strive because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe." He is the Savior of all mankind, but especially those who believe. For those who believe will be saved for eternity, for their sins will be washed away. Oh, He came for every man. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight, and you do not believe, or have not put your belief, this isn't an intellectual belief. I believe that Jesus Christ was a man, came from God, who was God Himself. I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross, and He rose again on the third day. This is not an intellectual belief. This is an absolute experiential belief. It's a belief that causes your life to change, because it's true belief. If I believe that that stool will hold me up, I'll go sit on it. And I'll just trust and I'll sit down. If I don't believe, I'm going to walk around it and I'm not going to put my weight into it. Have you put your weight of your faith into the living God? The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. Have you believed on the name of the Lord? The demons believe and tremble and the demons aren't saved. Oh, they know. No, have you experienced the Lord? Do you have a testimony for me today? Do you have a testimony? Can you tell me when you were saved? When were you born again, my friend? When were you born again? And you could say, "Oh, I was born again." Maybe you don't have the date, but you know your life changed. Something happened. You were once going this way and you repented. You changed your mind and now you are following the loving, living Lord. And now He's living in your heart and you're free. You're free from sin and you've experienced forgiveness and righteousness, and you've experienced His grace and His mercy, and you could come up to somebody on the street and say, "Tell me for this hope that which is in you. Tell me about Jesus. Is He real? Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, who is the Lord? How do I get saved?" And you're like, "Well, the Bible says..." No, you have no testimony. You can't say, "Who is the Lord?" Huh. Oh, He just opened the door. Thank you, Lord. And just start sharing. It's just, "Oh, that's the best things my ears could ever hear. Who is the Lord? How can I be saved?" Because I've got a testimony. I got something to share. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Have an answer for every man for the hope that lies within." I need an answer for my hope. My hope what? The eternal life. Yeah, I got an answer for you. His name is Jesus. He came and died and resurrected, and by His blood He forgives me and washes me clean of all my sins, because apart from Him I can do nothing, and apart from Him I will inherit the everlasting lake of fire. For the Bible says if you've broken the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing, and condemnation and judgment awaits you, and the wrath of God abides upon you. We find it even here in John chapter 3 in the last verse, that verse 26, the wrath of God abides upon you if you do not believe and put your faith and your trust, and you're willing to say, "Lord Jesus, I'll follow You," and leave whatever He says behind, forsaking all for Him, forsaking all of you, and saying, "Lord Jesus, You're my Lord." Lord. Lord means He is King. Oh, we pray, "Oh Lord." Every time you pray, "Oh Lord," you're saying, you're the master. I'm submitted to you. You're the king of my life. Whatever you says goes. Every time you say, Lord. And so when you pray, Lord, next time, just remember. And that's a blessing because I've got him as my master, who's the master of the universe, who's the master of salvation and creation, who's the master of eternal life, who will never leave me nor forsake me, who is the master and maker of my soul, who has redeemed me because he had such a masterable plan. He had a plan of redemption for me, knowing when he created me that I was going to fall into sin, knowing when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, they were going to fall into sin, and from the foundations of the world, he had a plan at this certain time in history. Jesus was going to come as a man and come to die for humanity and rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. And now he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. Not one breath that I've ever taken, not one word that I've ever spoken has gone beyond his knowledge. He knew it before it even happened. He has a master plan. And when I say Lord, I'm saying, whoa, Lord. And the faith in my heart can just increase because who he is. Who he is. Do you have faith tonight in the Lord Jesus? And if you do, let it increase. You guys, faith is not a difficult thing. The Lord Jesus has given us all faith. It's not difficult. Faith is always a response to what has already been revealed. Who he is who my faith is. It's not that I have a great faith in God. It's that I have a great God that I put my faith into. He's so big, of course I believe him. Do you believe that the Lord loves you today? He loves you. Do you believe he's for you in all that you do? If you do, you will walk with him in such power and victory. Just lay aside your doubts, your weaknesses. He sees them. I mean, he's seen it all. And tonight, as we come to the table of communion, as we come up and worship the Lord, you that believe in the Lord and have been born again and have testimonies, as you come to the table of communion, man, just by faith, just by who he is, the cross, that's what the communion is, the bread and the grape juice, the bread. It's his body that was whipped, that was shredded wide open for me. It's his blood that was shed from Calvary, the divine blood of Jesus. As the old hymn says, there's a fount filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel, God with his veins. Sinners plunge beneath his flood and they lose all their guilt. He stains. It's done. It's his blood that washes me free that I'm justified in. And as I come and meditate on this at the table of communion, just put your faith in him. For he did it. It's done. Jesus at the cross, as we find here, he says, the food that I eat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He said, it is finished. All the works that you are ever going to do, they were finished at Calvary. All you got to do is walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Just walk. So tonight, just get encouraged in your heart. It's done. You have a loving, living God. If you've been condemned tonight by a conviction of not witnessing, you've had conviction of anything tonight, it's not condemnation and don't mistake it with it. It's conviction. It's God saying, this area right here is wrong and I want to change it. Let me in. Just open your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I would come in and intimately spend time with them. Now in that scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he's talking to believers. You're a believer tonight. Open your heart more and more. Let him in and let you go. That he may live in you so powerfully. No condemnation for you. None. That's from the enemy. The Lord is here to love you and to change you radically. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And God, as the worship band comes up, and as those, Father, that are going to be taking communion come forward, Father, and partake of communion, I just pray anointing on their heart. I pray a willingness, Father, in their lives just to give up and let you just take control, knowing, Lord, that your will is what we want. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you. And Father, we ask if there'd be anybody here tonight that is not saved, is not coming to the knowledge of the truth, that they would come forward, Father, and receive prayer from the counselors that will be on the steps here, God, just to be born again. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.